You're listening to the Agony Column News Report, featuring interviews, phone interviews, reports from live book events and festivals, and conversations with readers. You can find additional news, interviews, book reviews, and more 5 days a week at the Agony Column website at trashotron.com/agony. We're speaking with Greg Ketter. He's the owner of Dreamhaven Books. Thank you for joining me, Greg.
Hey, you're welcome.
Greg, tell us the story of Dreamhaven. When did you start it, found it, and why?
Dreamhaven, I first opened up a bookstore on April 1st in 1977. It was known as Starlight Books then, and it's gone through a number of name changes and certainly a lot of location changes in the meantime.
What made you decide to start a genre fiction store? I'm guessing that Starhaven was one, as opposed to just opening up a bookstore.
I've always been interested in science fiction, and it was just the one area I thought I could actually handle. I didn't know a lot about general books at that time, so I just wanted to go with what I actually knew.
Well, in those more than 30 years now, you've accomplished quite a bit. You're the only bookstore owner that I know of who has received a World Fantasy Award.
Well, actually, I was only nominated. I didn't win this year. No. Ellen Asher from the Science Fiction Book Club won this year. She deserved it. But the only one that's been nominated, yeah, as a bookseller.
Well, tell us a little bit about the science fiction world of science fiction bookselling over the past few years. We've seen kind of a downturn in science fiction and an upturn in fantasy.
It's partly true. We've seen just a huge growth in fantasy. There's still a lot of science fiction out there, and it's possibly less popular than fantasy, but there's still quite a bit being published. I think it's actually a little more popular in Britain and Australia than, say, in the U.S., but there's still an awful lot out there. It's just that it's kind of overshadowed by the fantasy genre.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about how you are finding new readers and bringing them into your bookstore?
Well, we do a lot of local events. We support local conferences and conventions and things like that. I do a lot of traveling around to science fiction conventions. But it's really hard to connect, except maybe through the internet these days. And there's so much noise on the internet. It's very hard to find the people who are most interested. But we manage somehow, I guess.
You do a lot of events. Could you talk about finding those authors and bringing them into your store and setting up the event and how that works with your sales strategy?
Well, sometimes it's a real advantage to know a lot of people. I mean, it's a very nepotistic business here, and I've gotten to know most of the science fiction writers out there over the last 30 years. And they know my reputation, and so they will actually request, if they're going on a tour, they'll request doing maybe my store over a Barnes & Noble or some other non-genre store here in the area. But so that's an advantage, and I've set up my own events, bringing in people on my own expense account. If I think I could sell enough books, or if I like the project enough. So we've brought people in many times. We would bring in people like Joe Lansdale and Robert McCammon, and we've brought in Neil Gaiman, certainly. He's a local, but we do a lot of events with him. And we've done people like Douglas Adams and Clive Barker. They've all been people we've brought in on our own.
That's an amazing roster of authors to come through your town. Can you talk a little bit about what...
Sorry?
Tell me what genres and titles are exciting you right now that you think are really going to sell and would be of interest to readers.
Well, personally, I read a lot of, I guess, what I'd call sort of slipstream material. I'm not a big hard science reader, but I do read a lot of things that sort of fall in the cracks. I just finished Patrick O'Leary's The Impossible Bird, which I thought was a pretty good book, and I picked up an R.A. Lafferty book that I haven't read in about 30 years, and he's one of my favorite writers, but he's really kind of unclassifiable. He's not quite hard science. He's not really a fantasy writer. He's sort of a fable or a storyteller. And so I think he's someone who's been grossly underappreciated by many fans. And he tends to be a writer's writer. Most writers know who he is, but the regular readers might not.
I really love R.A. Lafferty, and this brings up something I think that's really important that bookstores that like yours are really doing, which is keeping the classics in print and also just keeping them in people, in front of the readers, because the R.A. Laffertys and the Philip K. Dicks and some of the more classic writers are the ones who originally brought some of us to the genre, and it certainly works to bring new readers to the genre as well.
Well, that's the advantage of having the specialty store, in that we do more hand selling. We were able to recommend things based on our own tastes rather than on, you know, the bottom line sales lists and, you know, what the corporate office will tell you to sell. So that doesn't always work as far as financial the aspect. Pushing somebody like Ray Lafferty is going to be very difficult simply because his books are very hard to find. I'm always looking for them, and I always buy them, but they just don't show up. People like Philip K. Dick, who again is one of my favorites, and those are people. Both Ray Lafferty and Phil Dick were people I've worked with and published their work in my publishing career. They're people that I just really like. That, and at the time, Phil Dick was much out of print, and he's become much more in vogue now, and certainly he's getting a lot of films made of his old works and things like that. And I always worry, because once somebody dies, a lot of their work just is forgotten. You can almost immediately tell, because all the books will be remaindered and sold off from the publishers. They sort of give up. But there are some writers who certainly deserve a lot more of a lifespan than their own mortal life.
Could you talk a little bit about your career as a publisher?
Oh, well, originally back in the late 70s, I got together with a couple of friends, and we started a small press called Corroborate Press. And we did, it was...
Who were the friends?
It was designed, Mitch Thornhill and Ripley Thornhill. I've kind of lost touch with those guys nowadays. They've moved around the country, and I don't see either one of them much. But we originally wanted to publish R.A. Lafferty, and we did... We did four books of Lafferty's during that time, a couple of short story collections, and a couple of one previously published and one previously unpublished novel. They were part of a four-part series. And then we did a Phil Dick book that was Ubik, the screenplay, which was an alternate version that he had produced as a screenplay for a French producer, but it was never done.
Boy, that's too bad. That's one of my favorite Philip K. Dick books.
Oh, yeah.
And that's actually the one, when I read Stanislaw Lem essay, that was the one he mentioned. And that long ago, back in the dawn of time, brought me to Philip K. Dick. And
well, it's certainly an interesting one. I've always liked it. And the screenplay differed quite a bit from his original novel. It had a different ending and all sorts of things. So we did a limited edition on that. And then I separated from the group, and they did one more book after that and did no more. Then I started up my own publishing as Dreamhaven Books, just as part of the store. One of the earliest things I did is one of Neil Gaiman's early books was Now We Are Sick. He and Steve Jones had edited an anthology of ghastly poetry. So we got to work with a lot of different people, including Lafferty and Gene Wolfe and Ramsey Campbell and Robert Block and Alan Moore, quite a few others.
Boy,
they all contributed poetry to this anthology.
You're just extremely well connected. I have to say that you mentioned, toss off these names. These are like the superstars of the field.
Well, at least in this case, it was Neil and Steve Jones who were able to get most of those. But I've met and become friends with most of them over the years, too, so either through publishing them or just attending conventions or or whatever.
Tell me a little bit about the importance of conventions to you as a bookseller. That's a, for, you know, most booksellers, they plant their feet on the ground in some place, and then there they go. But for a genre fiction bookseller, the conventions can be a really lucrative source of money and attention.
Well, sort of. It's kind of an evil trap in a way. Going to a convention takes a lot of time and effort, and takes away from the store in a way. I have to pack books up. I have to take them out of the store for up to a week and then bring them back, whatever doesn't sell. And a lot of the expenses will be eaten up just from travel and that sort of thing. But what I do find is I'm better connected sometimes. I mean, in the pre-internet days, that's how a lot of information and a lot of books were disseminated. I would find out about things, small presses or just different books that hadn't really been made and gotten into the mainstream. So, and just information. I mean, I got to know all these people. I found out about things. You know, you sit and talk, and you find out that somebody has a little ghost story that, you know, they're mainly known for science fiction or something. And they haven't been able to publish this or didn't feel like publishing it. So, you know, things like that. It's just specific information that might be lost otherwise. And also, I get a lot of mail order customers through the conventions, people who may not be able to get to a science fiction bookstore but are certainly interested, and they'll sign up for mailing lists and things and buy from me there.
You mentioned the internet as being a source of lots of noise, but you do have a very nice website, and I'm wondering, does that really help your sales a lot? Are you actually reaching out to more people through the internet?
Well, there are days when I used to believe earlier on that I probably had a net gain on the internet, that I was getting more business than I was probably losing. I think that's beginning to change. Amazon has gotten better at stealing business, and certainly so have the other chains, and there's so much competition. Small publishers, too, have gained tremendously. Before the internet, they had to try to sell their books either themselves, which was almost impossible, or sell them to booksellers who turned around and sold them. And of course, they made less money that way because they had to give discounts and that sort of thing. Nowadays, small publishers can sell direct to the public, and there are quite a few who are doing more and more of it. And they can pick off the higher-end customers, sell their ultra-limited editions, and they make a lot of money doing that. So we kind of get the leftovers. If there's any leftovers, it's getting to be quite a squeeze nowadays. So that's why we've seen almost all the science fiction bookstores, and indeed most independent bookstores, going out of business. There's just very little left.
And I was going to ask you, what small press publishers are you finding are making the best material for you to sell and for readers to enjoy?
Well, we sell a lot of collectible books. So Ash Tree Press from Canada, they're quite good for us.
Oh, boy, they're mostly beautiful, too.
They do beautiful little books, and they're very limited. And, that doesn't necessarily help readers. It certainly helps our bottom line. I'd like to see books that are a little more generally available that we could sell a lot of copies of rather than just a few at $50. You know, I'd rather sell a lot at $10 or $5 or something. But so Ash Tree is a good one for us. I mean, things with Cemetery Dance and Subterranean Press. There are a lot of sort of smaller print-on-demand or close-to-print-on-demand sort of publishers. Black Coat Press does nice little editions of some obscure works, especially foreign works, French translations and such. There's a million little people starting up doing reprints, particularly of old fiction. That's both good and bad. I mean, it takes up a lot of shelf space, and we have to make some hard choices sometimes what we can actually stock. But it does make those books available to a few people who really want them.
Could you talk about the effect of science fiction and fantasy are really, really popular in video games, in movies, and in popular culture, but not so much in books. Why is that, do you think?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting one. I think, it, you know, of course, science fiction used to be the ghetto where, you know, you wouldn't be caught dead in it. And nowadays, it is very, very mainstream. But most people don't consider themselves science fiction fans in any way. They might be a video game fan, like I said, or certain movies. You know, the biggest movies of all time are science fiction or fantasy of some sort. It does hurt sometimes that we get overlooked, the fiction part of it. People don't really pay attention to the writers until they go on strike. So I don't think that's ever going to change. People just have gotten out of the habit of reading as much as they used to. But people who are really devoted to science fiction read a lot of it, thank God. So there's always going to be a place for the words. It just seems to be a shrinking number all the time.
One thing I really like about science fiction books, and I think a lot of the books that are available at your store, that as physical objects, they're a little more beautiful than the stuff that gets cranked out of the New York presses, you know, some of these limited editions. Could you talk about the physical aspect of books?
Well, I've always appreciated a nice book, too. I mean, just the good book construction and nice design, things like that. We mentioned Ashtree. They're some of the nicest. They're simple and clean, but they're very sturdy and just, you know, they're good books. Tartarus Press is another one.
Oh, Tartarus Press, boy.
Yeah. They're just beautiful and some really worthwhile big author collections. You know, they're collecting a lot of sometimes obscure, sometimes not so obscure, but work that hasn't been around.
Was it Tartarus that did Robert Aichman?
They did the two-volume Robert Aichman. Oh, wonderful.
Man, those are... And he's such a fantastic writer, and I think somebody who would appeal to a huge, you know, I think I'm very mainstream audience. His stuff is very mainstream in many ways.
Well, yeah, it's more of a tales of unease rather than maybe outright horror or anything like that. But, he was one who just died very young and didn't make a big impression until after he was gone. Seems to have grown in his popularity, but they're still kind of niche audiences for those sorts of things. I still like the books that I produced. I've always tried to put a lot into it, make them look as nice as possible.
I actually have some; they're beautiful books. I have the Dreamhaven collection, and I really liked it.
My shelf life.
Shelf life, exactly.
Anthology of bookstore stories. That's one that, you know, I think we got a very nice cover and good selection of different stories. We've got horror, we got science fiction, we've got some fantasy, you know, a little of everything. And it hasn't gotten very good distribution, so people just don't know about it.
Well, I would highly recommend it to my listeners to look for Shelf Life. I actually have a copy, and it's a beautiful book, and it has a lot of great writing in it, too, which is the point.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, some limited editions overshadow the actual fiction, kind of pointless, but you know, I still think it's the words. Having a very nice edition maybe as a keepsake is fun, but as a way to get more readers, it doesn't really help a lot.
Now, are there any books that are coming out in the very near future that you anticipate selling a lot of and anticipate enjoying reading and think might reach a wider audience than the normal genre literature?
Well, I don't know about that. I'm always a little behind just because I don't even do a lot of the new ordering anymore. I don't pay attention to what the new books are, but there's a lot of new authors who are certainly becoming popular, who are doing very well. People like science fiction, Charles Stross, Ken McLeod, a few of these others. Those are some of the people we always keep an eye on. The one book I'm kind of excited by, and also almost repulsed by, there's a limited edition of Little Big coming out, the kind of ultimate edition.
Oh, really?
30th anniversary, or actually it's supposed to be the 25th, I think it's going to be the 27th or so. But Little Big by John Crowley is perhaps my favorite novel of all time. It's a fantasy. I tend not to read that much fantasy, but it's such a beautifully done, beautifully written book. There's going to be a nice limited edition, and ultra deluxe edition.
Who's doing it?
It's Incunabula Press.
I've never heard of them.
They've only done a few. They've done John Crowley. They've done Samuel Delaney and a couple of others, but they only do a book every 5 or 10 years. This one's been worked on for about 8 years now, and it might finally come out early next year.
Well, we'll definitely look forward to that. That's an iconic book of for me, too. I remember buying that at, I think I bought it at Change of Hobbit and back in the...
It's a beautiful book, and it's the one book I do try to sit down and reread every few years. I rarely get to reread things, but that's one I make it a point to reread.
Could you talk a little bit about used books? How do used books form a big part of your business, and is it a good part of your business, or just, oh my God, I have to buy this used book, but now it's really hard to sell?
Well, sometimes I have certainly have more books than I'm ever going to sell, even if I bought nothing in the next 20 years. But used books tend to be they're a little more profitable simply because you can buy them for less. Sell them for a bit more. People are always looking for bargains, especially these days. They're trying to get more bang for their buck, so buying used books is the way to go. As far as collectibles, I've always liked collectibles, and it's fun to deal with them and things like that. But it's also gotten harder. Those books that are really rare remain really rare, and some are just a little too easy to find, and everybody has them. So.
Well, I have to ask you, do you happen to have a copy of the Codex Seraphianus?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
I'm looking for a copy. Well, we've been speaking with Greg Ketter. He's the owner of Dreamhaven Books. Thank you for joining me, Greg.
All right, you're welcome.
You're listening to the Agony Column News Report, featuring interviews, phone interviews, reports from live book events and festivals, and conversations with readers. You can find additional news, interviews, book reviews, and more 5 days a week at the Agony Column website at trashotron.com/agony.